Hello.
Hello, is this Sandy?
Yes, it is.
How are you guys doing?
I am doing well. I'm going to put you on speaker so Eric can join in.
Okay.
All right, hi, Mark.
Eric, how are you?
I'm great. I'm super. How are you, Mark?
Pretty good. Is this world boring enough for you, or wild enough for you, or what do you think about what's going on today?
Is there any one thing in particular?
Well, I don't know. We've got the virus, we've got the election fraud. looks like we're
And virus fraud.
the virus.
Fraud, the election fraud. What other
Yeah.
kind of fraud do you want?
We've got a lot of all of that, don't we?
Yes,
Yeah.
we do.
So, yeah, right. Not boring. Not boring.
Yeah,
Well,
I wish it was boring. I'd like to go back to the boring way it used to be.
Amen.
But speaking of fraud, here's maybe another one you can add to your list. I don't know if you're aware. I just found out that when you buy a car and they don't allow you to leave the dealership with the car until you process the paperwork and the title with the state. Well, did you know that the state holds what's called the allodial title to your car, the real, honest, free and clear title to your car? The state holds it. And what you get has certificate of title on it, which means the title exists and you can trace it through that certificate document, but the car does not belong to you. And if you look on your license plate, the little sticker that you get, there is micro printing on it. You have to take a very high-powered magnifying glass and look very carefully. It's teeny tiny itty bitty printing on the sticker that says official use, for official use. So, like when you see the cars with the license plate on them that are state-owned, obviously state-owned vehicles, and it says official use on the license plate. Well, it's exactly the same thing because when it says official use on that sticker, and the sticker is on your license plate, and the license plate is attached to your car belongs to the state. It does not belong to you.
Well, okay, I've paid my car off. Are you telling me I really don't own it?
That's exactly
Yeah,
what I'm telling you.
exactly.
You do not own it.
Oh my goodness. Is that true for a house as well?
I believe that it mostly is, but I can't speak authoritatively on that one.
My goodness, that is just too weird. I wonder, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Right.
Yeah,
It doesn't.
but it doesn't, but it does.
Well, it does kind of. When did you find this out?
About yesterday.
When did I find it out? Yeah, about yesterday.
Okay. That's too weird.
It was.
More
There's
to come.
another. There's another example that will blow your mind. It's very, very similar. Look in your checkbook, and on each check, the line where you sign at the bottom for your signature, that is not just a line to sign on. Again, it has micro printing there, and if you take a very high-powered magnifying glass, or we took it to a copier and enlarged it 800% to be able to read the line, it says authorized signature, which means the money in your checking account actually belongs to a trust fund. And your signature is an authorized signature. You're allowed to use your money that is not yours. You voluntarily put it into that fund, and it is controlled by someone else. It's held by someone else.
In what countries? Three countries?
It's held either by the Fed or the IMF.
Wow.
Yep.
So it sounds like we don't own anything. It's almost that's what you're saying.
Yeah. That's right.
You can. More to come on that.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm learning more all the time. There are remedies. You can claim the allodial title to your car, but I don't know how to do that yet.
Oh, no. Too much to even think about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your mind was full before. Is the top of your head off?
Exploded now, right? As soon as I really appreciate what you've said, it'll probably take me a while to really appreciate it. Did you guys...
We don't any of us appreciate it.
Did you guys, I thought I sent you a link of the nurse in Tennessee that took the coronavirus vaccine. That was so.
When I first saw that, I said, that's not the same person. And Sandy has more about that. They found her death certificate.
Yeah, she did. She died 10 months later, or 10 hours later, sorry.
Ten hours later.
That was so sad.
They managed to transport her body to Alabama.
And cremated.
Her death was registered in Alabama, which is where she's from.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't.
I she was so excited to get that shot. And like she was, you know, clapping her hands, and then as she's speaking to the press, she just passes out, and the doctor kind of set her down gently. And I saw another video on GitHub, or BitChute, I'm sorry, BitChute, that, you know, where a guy looked her up, and she, in fact, did die 10 hours later, just like you said.
Yeah, but they also showed, I don't know if you saw the follow-up video from the hospital.
No.
Where they were trying to pretend that she was still alive.
Really?
And there was another woman, apparently from that same department, that with the mask on, they were hoping that nobody would notice that it wasn't really the same nurse. But there are so many differences. Nurse Dover, who passed out and died, had really light, steely blue eyes, very wide eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And this other woman had dark eyes that were a little closer together. The hair had different texture. It was not the same person.
Did you see that, Mark?
No, I didn't. I didn't see that.
Nobody spoke in that video, but they held up signs that said, "Leadership supports Tiffany," or something like that. Tracy, I don't remember her first name. Yeah. I know her last name is Dover.
I'd have to look it up, yeah. It's a little stunning. I just can't believe that we are where we are. You know, it takes 10 to 15 years to develop a normal vaccine.
Exactly.
And this one's been developed in, what, 10 months or something like that?
Right. And they know that with other coronavirus vaccine attempts, there have been horrific problems.
Have you done any research on the fact that they call this an RNA vaccine?
Well, yes and no. What that means is they are injecting you with RNA, which gets translated into DNA, but it produces, it's supposed to produce a protein that is similar to the spike protein on the coronavirus, so that your body sees that spike protein, which is supposed to pinpoint that type of virus, and build an immunity to it. Eric and I have really been convinced that viruses do not make you sick anyway. It's all a scam that is just so lucrative that they
can't let it go.
Yeah. But regardless, so, you know, the whole concept of vaccines for viruses is flawed to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the other interesting things about the COVID virus, the vaccine, and the fact that they are pinpointing that spike protein is that that protein is very, very similar to a protein that supports the placenta during pregnancy.
Mm.
So it is highly likely that if you acquire immunity to this spike protein, it will also mean that your body attacks the placenta and you cannot support a pregnancy.
Which is what they want.
Of course. Is this admitted to yet? Do you know?
Well, no, the vaccine manufacturers aren't admitting that, no. But there are doctors I have seen that discuss this and are very worried about it.
My mind is kind of going in two places at once, yeah. I think the whole thing of this is really about population control.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. I agree.
The other thing I want to hold that thought, because I think it's very, very important, because, I mean, we should be able to prove that they're trying to, at least they should tell people when they get the vaccine, especially if you're a woman, that you're almost guaranteed not to have any more children.
Right.
Sure, they should.
Right. Or at least tell them, hey, this is a possibility, and we have no idea what effect this might have on your fertility.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hold that thought. I think it's a whole nother area that we could, you know, talk about. But I want to go back to this, the fact that COVID-19 has not been correctly sequenced. So they haven't gone from one end to the other and identified all the parts.
And right.
Once they do that, which I don't know that there are plans to do that, but if they did do that, then we could get a photo, kind of a photo from electron microscope or something like that of the actual virus. And then we might be able to come up with a test that actually works, right?
Right, yeah, potentially. But exactly. And if they don't know the sequence of the virus, how can they test for it?
Mm-hmm.
How can they have an effective vaccine for it?
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked a little bit before about the fact that effective means whatever they want it to mean. It means it does what it was tested to do, what it was expected to do. And these trials were set up just to show that it would reduce symptoms in mild cases. The trials were not set up to show that the vaccine would reduce hospitalizations. It won't necessarily reduce deaths. it won't necessarily reduce transmission.
Gosh, it doesn't do much at all, does it?
No. In fact, think about this. The virus has a mortality rate of 0.1%. But the reactions to the vaccine so far, just it was introduced early December. Here we are at the end of December. There are over 5,000 adverse reactions reported that were severe enough that the person could not go to work and required medical care.
You know, I think what's going to happen is if the employers make it mandatory to get the vaccine, that you're going to be out of a job anyway because you won't be able to work, most likely.
Yeah.
You know, eventually, I mean, you know, some people will have big reactions to it right away, like the poor lady that died. Did you see the poor black nurse that got Bell's palsy after she took it?
I did. Mm-hmm. And what? She was crying and begging people not to take the vaccine.
I know. It's very, very sad. And I watched again that interview with Dr. Cohen and John Rappaport. And I remember one of them was saying that the CDC on page 39 of their June bulletin stated they have no quantified virus available.
Right. Yeah. Because it has not been isolated.
So I'm just trying to appreciate that. Do you think there is actually a virus, but they just haven't isolated it? They haven't quantified it yet?
No, I actually don't believe that there even is a virus. And like I said, we don't believe anymore that viruses make you sick.
And they won't.
There are some bacteria that make you sick, but viruses, not so much.
Now, that's very interesting.
There are a couple of $100,000 prizes that have been on the table for years for anybody who can prove. One of them is specific to the measles, prove that there is a virus that causes the measles. And the other one is show me any virus and prove with Koch's postulates that that virus causes an illness, any virus at all and any illness. And those prizes have not been claimed in years. People have tried and they can't do it.
So I think when they're working on a virus, like for chickenpox or herpes, they use like a centrifuge and filters. And they try to separate all the components, and then they're able to isolate just the virus part. And my understanding is for chickenpox and herpes, that they do have a picture of these viruses, but like with HIV and the measles, they didn't sequence it and they didn't really take a picture with an electron microscope. So. Some people say HIV and the measles really do not exist.
Right.
That's so bizarre in a way because, I mean, don't we have, like, documented cases of people actually getting the measles?
Yes, but the rash that we call the measles is not caused by a virus.
It could be caused by something else. We just don't know what it is yet.
Right. Some environmental toxin, something other than a virus.
That's very interesting. Now, so with HIV, is that kind of a suppression of the immune system, just generally speaking, then?
That whole thing is so convoluted and distorted, and I haven't delved very strongly into that.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds very similar to what's going on now.
It does. It does.
They looted cases. When they tested people who had full-blown AIDS, hardly any of them had the HIV virus in their system. There are people who have the HIV virus who never develop AIDS. So how can you say that there is some strong connection and that the HIV virus causes AIDS? It obviously doesn't. If there are people with the AIDS symptoms, syndrome, and they don't have the virus.
And with HIV, they haven't even really sequenced that virus either, is my understanding.
Right.
So when they say they have, like, in some places you can hear them talk about, you know, the, oh, yeah, this person has the COVID-19 virus. That alleged test that they use, which is based on what the PCR, the polymerase chain reaction,
mm-hmm.
that test, they don't really have a virus to compare, you know, they really... Are they looking for something that looks roughly in a certain way? Is that what they're doing there?
With all of the PCR tests, not just the one for COVID, but with all PCR tests, they select little target points on the virus.
I see.
That they're looking for. They never can look for the entire sequence. They look for little targets.
Okay, gotcha. So what they're doing is just, since they've only sequenced a little bit here and a little bit there, they look for that little bit here and a little bit there. And when they find that, they throw their hands up and say, oh boy, this person's got the virus, where they may or may not have the virus.
Exactly.
Right.
That is exactly it. Those little pieces could be from some other coronavirus. They could be little pieces that were maybe were assuming that SARS-CoV-2 actually exists and that there could be a test that found it. I don't believe that, but let's assume that that's true. In order for a virus to be active, if you believe in the whole theory of how viruses work and make you sick,
mm-hmm.
in order for a virus to be active, it has to have the entire virus, and it has to be wrapped in a specific protein envelope. But that PCR test will find those little viral markers, whether they're in a whole virus wrapped in protein, whether they're in virus pieces that have been chopped up, whether those same little markers were from some other coronavirus. It doesn't know and doesn't care. It just says you have the markers you were looking for.
You know, the people, I've met some people that are very afraid of the COVID-19, and they've had friends that got it, and either the friends got really sick or their friends
yeah.
have died. And
yeah.
those people, like, when I tell them about the fact that they haven't even really isolated the virus, it's almost like there's a wall between you and them. And every time...
Absolutely.
We experience that, too, positively.
And if you can continue to talk to them, if they're a logical person, slowly this wall goes away, and at least I don't try to convince them ever. I just try to get the information through the wall so they can start to think clearly about it. Because if you see you don't have a true test, then you don't know what your friend died of, right?
Right.
Right.
And a lot of these, yeah, a lot of these deaths are just comorbidities, right? Some of them,
right,
are the fact the person had a bad heart. You know, they may have, mm-hmm, had a stroke. They may, you know, have other health issues like diabetes or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, some of the deaths happen because they are getting the wrong treatment. They are literally being killed.
You mean in the case of the respirators and all that?
Yes. And that's still happening.
You know, my understanding... Sorry to interrupt you.
In the hospitals, you can't have visitors anymore, just like in the nursing homes.
Oh,
they are completely locked down. You cannot have visitors. When someone's dying, their spouse isn't allowed to come in and be with them.
This is so horrible. It's so evil. It's just beyond belief.
It is beyond belief. And this is a disease that is no more serious than the traditional standard flu.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We had a gentleman here the other day, and we know many we've talked to in person. This gentleman did not, I'll repeat, did not receive the COVID test.
Yeah.
But his telephone rang the next day and said, we have the results of your test and you're positive.
I know. I've heard of that before. It's like, I didn't even take a test.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened more than once. I've heard that's happened to a lot of people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of this one? This is a real funny one. They test the left nostril. It's positive. They have COVID. They test the,
yeah,
right nostril, and there's no COVID.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? Yeah. Come on. Give me a break.
Well, you know, if you took the exact same sample and tested it twice at the same lab, it could be positive one time and not and negative the other time. It is so unreliable. It should never, ever be used in the way they're trying to use it.
You know, what we're dealing with is mind control.
Yes.
Yes.
And for some reason, certain people are susceptible to it, and certain people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even... I used to think it had to do with intelligence, but it's not.
No, it isn't.
It's something else. I don't know exactly what that something else is. But this is what we're going to have to deal with going forward, is fighting the mind control.
Yes. One of the tools that I was recently told about is probably similar to what you were talking about when you come up against that wall,
mm-hmm,
is if you just ask questions, plant the seed of doubt.
Right.
You don't try to convince anybody. You just say, well, if the masks work, why do we have to socially distance?
Oh, that's a great one.
And if masks and social distancing works, why are they talking about locking us down again? You just plant that seed of, hey, this doesn't make sense. What they're telling us to do doesn't have a basis in reality.
You hit one of my favorite things. I want to keep these talks to half an hour, and we're already at half an hour, believe it or not. But the whole thing with the masks is so... That's what bothers me the most of all, and I haven't been able to figure out why.
Oh, mm-hmm. We could talk for a long time about that, because it's the same with us, and I think a lot of people. When you see all of those masked faces walking around, it's just horrible.
It does something to the subconscious. It's like speaking to everyone's subconscious, telling them that they're sick or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're not worthy or something. Go ahead, yes. Eric. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, sorry. It is sickening. It is dehumanizing, and it is totally foolish.
Thank you.
But it's an outward and visible sign of people that are complying or not complying.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Maybe we can remember this for the next discussion, because I want to talk about these masks. Because there's
okay. That would be great.
There's so much information there. Any closing yep. thoughts, guys?
wow.
Well, it would take hours to for closing thoughts. But I think we hit on a lot.
We'll just leave it there and say, okay, we're going to dive into the mask issue next time.
Okay. Thanks, Sandy. Thanks, Eric. It's great talking to you guys. Have a good evening.
You too, Mark.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.